This week on Movie Wallahs, we talk about two movies about people on the run. It's time for Movie Wallahs. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wallahs is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings all.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy Labour Day weekend.
Yay, finally a long weekend.
Yes, may all your weekends be long.
I would love that ratio.
3 to 4.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect ratio.
It would be about right. Of course, yeah, 4 to 3 would be better still.
But the people I'm most envious of are those who are able to work like 4 days a week or 3 days a week. I want their life.
Me too.
Keep plugging away at Movie Wallahs. It might happen. Isn't it horrible?
Yeah. I think that was too much of a laugh, to be honest.
We're so resigned to our daily grind.
It would be
a dream. You'll be doing that in Toronto, though, coming up.
Yes. I'm really looking forward to that.
You'll be full-time film wallah.
I will. I'll be holding the flag high on behalf of Movie Wallahs. Yes.
So how many films are you seeing?
I am seeing, as of right now, I believe 16 movies.
Wow.
You will be like a pig in poop.
I will be. I just hope they don't all blend together. And they usually don't. So.
No, but that's a difficulty when you see so many back-to-back. I mean, I felt like that when we covered LA, and that was, what, 2 or 3 films a day?
Yeah.
I was like a pig in poop, but it was like, wow.
Well, we'll have to set up a podcast with Yazdi where we catch him halfway so that we don't lose the good stuff that's coming and all the Oscar buzz that will come. So Venice Film Festival's on at the minute, and then I guess all of these people get on a flight and come all the way to Toronto, so...
Will you be posting the movies that you... see either on Movie Wallahs or on Spaces in My Mind?
So I was thinking of posting on Facebook little couple sentences or paragraphs about each of the movie, and then, you know, depending on how much time I have, maybe even post a day's wrap every day on
Perfect.
Movie Wallahs.
Cool.
Sounds exciting, Yazdi. We'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's jump into our reviews for this week. We are talking about two movies. First one being Premium Rush, the second one being Hit and Run. So, Rashmi, I think you're going to intro Premium Rush for us. Take it away. I do.
I'm going to try and rush through the intro. So, in Manhattan, a bike messenger picks up an envelope under the auspices of Premium Rush that attracts the interest of a dirty cop who pursues the cyclist throughout the city. This is directed and written by David Cope and also written by John Camps and stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Michael Shannon, and Dania Ramirez. So, did this get your adrenaline flowing? Yazdi?
Absolutely. I mean, this movie literally never sits down. It is always on the go. It is thrilling. It is well made, with most of it shot on location on the New York street, and it entertains. And, you know, my point is nobody's going to go watch this film expecting insight about how we live, you know, or about the meaning of life. I mean, with that title, people will be expecting a thrill-a-minute, fun, late summer, vaporific piece of entertainment. So the only question that remains is the movie deserving of your Friday night or Saturday night $12? And the answer for me is a resounding yes.
Okay, Joe.
I thought this was terrific fun. This was breathtaking, heart-pounding stuff. I enjoyed every mini of it. Every minute of it. Great stunts, clever camera work. I thought the CG was a little off-putting, but overall I think it did add to the excitement. Just before I let Rashmi talk, one key thing about this movie is whether or not you like it depends wholly on whether or not you enjoy relentless action set pieces, because the movie is really just a string of them assembled back to back loosely to form a story.
I think this is going to be a 3 out of 3 again. It's not just the bike riding that's frenetic, fast-paced and thrilling, like you said, Yazdi. This is a good movie. Not War and Peace, as you always say, or epic like Gone with the Wind, but it's a great way to spend an hour and a half. Who knew a film about bike messengers could be so exciting and have you on the edge of your saddle?
Unanimous praise.
Yeah,
wow.
I really enjoyed it. It's a good film.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of no greater compliment than to say that this movie reminded me of Speed. Not that the plot of this movie resembles Speed a lot, but it kind of is in that same genre. And I love Speed. I mean, I can watch that movie 100 times.
Yeah.
And I think this one might be one of my favorites down the road as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think the story was a little bit far-fetched, and I think I certainly feel a bit more educated about the Asian underground gambling houses. I mean, this isn't a plot film, let's be clear, and it's not even good enough to be a guilty pleasure, but it's good.
Educated, I think, is a a bit of a stretch there, but yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the plot here was nothing new. You have your bad guy in pursuit. You have your hero who gets innocently mixed up in some sinister business that he doesn't understand, you know, and it's all about with his skill, integrity, and his friends, he prevails. So, you know, it's no surprise here that the good guys win, the bad guys lose. But the movie was so fast-paced. The stunts were terrific. I thought the cycling scenes around New York were just... It was so energetic, and there were so many of them, I thought I was going to get bored of that whole mechanic by the end of it. I totally didn't. They introduced something fresh into every single action set piece, and I had so much fun just watching it.
You know, the movie's been getting a little bit of a bad press because, you know, I don't know what others expected of it, but I think you cannot underestimate the difficulty of making a good movie like this. I mean, you really have to have a good script, and you have to have a director who knows what he's doing spatially in terms of setting up all these pieces. And most of the movie is set on location. I mean, there's a lot of CGI used, mm-hmm. and maybe this green screened a lot of it, but the best I could tell, a lot of the movie was done, you know, if not on location, then with, you know, hundreds of people around them. And they deliver. And you know, we've seen too many films like this fail, you know, where it just comes off, you know, tired or boring or exhausting or overdone. And this movie is none of those things.
Yeah, and I wanted to go back to something, Joe, you said at the beginning, which was the use of CGI. I mean, for me, the graphics and the animation, which we normally see in documentary, I really like that in the movie because it's like nothing we've seen before in the movie genre. It was a bit gimmicky.
No, that, I'm not referring to that. You're thinking of when the camera kind of zooms out and you get this big panoramic view of New York and then it zooms back in.
No, I'm talking about the graphics when you see like all of the graphics and the arrows and the...
No, that's not what I'm referring to.
Okay.
There are a couple of scenes for me at least. So obviously it didn't affect you, but when, for example, Levitt is going across a crowded intersection mm-hmm. and there's cars zooming every which way. A lot of those cars were actually CG, and if you just stopped for a second to catch it, you could see like New York taxis without license plates and drivers.
I see.
For me, I caught that, and it just felt a little cartoony in those very few instances. That's where I got kicked out.
Okay, so I'm talking about you guys think of the
all that stuff was great.
Yeah, because it's something, you know, those general graphics that we see a lot in documentary. This is the first time I've seen it in film.
Just to describe it, I mean, there are these moments where the action kind of stops and slows down to almost, you know, time doesn't move. And then the protagonist has to choose like one of three different paths, and each one is plotted out in front of you as options. And then it's almost like in Sherlock Holmes where Downey Jr., right? He's kind of figuring out which punch to throw in order to create maximum damage. So it's that same mechanic I thought done on Cycles.
Yeah, and I like that, you know, you see an address in his phone and then that suddenly translates to the big screen and a little map is drawn, all of those sort of graphics. So I really love that. I mean, it was very gimmicky, I thought, but why not?
Yeah, I mean, none of that actually bothered me or pulled me out of the movie. I didn't notice any of the CGI cars like you did, Joe, but I'll probably be watching this movie again sometime. So yeah, I'll definitely look out for that. So I actually thought for this plot and this story, you know, the gimmicks, if you will, that they used actually are complementary to it because, you know, there are pieces where it's, you know, it shows that person A is sitting at this point in the city and he needs to get to this point B in the city. And you know, you get a map and, you know, and he kind of imagines what could be the different ways to get there. So it kind of is part of the thrill of the movie, if you will. I do want to talk about the acting in this movie, which is odd for an action movie. But
yeah, I agree. I mean, I was thinking, I write down here, actually, is there anything to talk about here in terms of performances? But go ahead.
I mean, I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt right now is one of the most agreeable screen presences in cinema. And you know, I believe something is right with Hollywood if this relatively scrawny guy gets to play a very effective lead in an action thriller movie. So on behalf of all the scrawny guys of the world, thank you, Joseph.
Actually, you are a little bit Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Yazdi.
I am, and I'm glad that he's holding the flag high for all the scrawny people of the world. Good for you, Mayor.
So listeners who don't know what Yazdi looks like, yeah, I think you could be our Joseph Gordon-Levitt poster boy.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far, but I also like the fact that, you know, Gordon-Levitt has so far to date has never been in a stinker. of a movie yet. So, you know, he's always reliable. And then I also want to talk about Michael Shannon.
Well, hang on before you go there. I mean, I want to agree with you, Yazdi. And I think that the thing that's important about Joseph Gordon-Levitt is that he always manages to stay genuine and sweet and edgy all at once. And I think there are very few people who can kind of combine all of that together. It never feels to me like he's being pretentious or not acting. I'm always with him in the movie.
I put him in the same category as James Franco very often, but I think that I'm really differentiating the two of them here because Franco simply wouldn't have worked in this role.
Yeah.
Levitt just had that energy. And it's interesting to contrast this to what he just did in The Dark Knight Rises, which I will talk about at every opportunity. But he played a very important role in that movie, and that performance was very subtle. Here it was, you know, a lot more kind of energetic.
Well, and he's carrying
frenetic.
The movie. I mean, he's the name in this movie.
Yeah.
And the other piece is he plays a character in the movie who is rather cocky, who likes to do things his own way, who risks his own life and the harm of others. And with any other actor, I think this would have come off as really arrogant or bullish or too much. But because it's him and he kind of somehow contains it and maybe tempers it with this, not, you know, I don't know what the right phrase is. There's something very nice and agreeable about him that, you know, it comes across as a full believable package, yeah.
We're all members of the Joseph Gordon-Levitt fan club. What about the others? Daniel Ramirez and Michael Shannon.
I was really impressed with Michael Shannon. He plays the dirty cop in this movie, and I really liked it. I really liked his character. He was good at being slimy.
Yeah, I think Michael Shannon is one of the more underappreciated actors right now, and I believe his time will come. I mean, he's going to get an Oscar one of these days.
He's in Man of Steel coming up next year. Christopher Nolan, written by Christopher Nolan and directed by Zack
Snyder.
Snyder, thank you. Oh, God, I had a complete blackout. So he's going to be Zod. Remember the character Zod from the original Superman movies?
Yeah, and he's got that kind of cartoonish, chiseled look, I feel. Like, I think he's going to be a good fit. But I think he played this very well.
I mean, he's been in amazing stuff. He was in Bug, the movie that, you know, William Friedkin made before he did...
Killer Joe.
He was in an amazing movie last year called Take Shelter with Jessica Chastain, where he carried this movie. So he's a great actor. He, I think, a little bit overplayed this particular character, but you know, considering that it was meant to be a little bit over the top, he pretty much brought it home. I think also like the fact that he's not evil, kind of in the vein of Alan Rickman in the Die Hard movie.
Right.
You know, he's kind of just...
He's got
stupid. He's just stupid.
He's got himself ensnared in a horrible situation.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get out of it the best way he knows how. So,
yeah. So there's almost something comical about him, but yeah, it works.
Okay. Well, let's wind this one up then. So, Joe, you go first.
So this movie has only one downside for me, and that's the fact that it practically oozes with the physical perfection of youth, and that's annoying to me because I'm not there anymore. I thought this was fast-paced, simple fun, competently paced and directed. I probably won't want to re-watch this movie, but the initial view was a blast. 8 out of 10.
Yazdi.
Yeah, I mean, it seems silly to indulge in too much analysis about a movie as well-intentioned and giddy and lightweight as this one. But, you know, we've all seen too many movies in this same way, which are poorly made or overproduced or lead-footed, that you know when you see it, when it is done well. I think this movie's done exceptionally well. I recommend this movie to anyone. Well done. I give it 7.5 out of 10, which I'm going to bump up to 8.
Okay. So Universal Love, have no doubt that you will feel the premium rush from the very first scene of this movie. The stunts are so amazing in this film. This is a biker's wet dream. So sit back and enjoy the joyride for what it is. I'm going to give this one a 7 out of 10.
I agreed with Yazdi's half, by the way. I would have let you get away with that today, but...
You can't be inconsistent.
I'm glad he rounded to an 8.
Yeah, it is not a full 8. It's not a full 8. Yeah. It's a 7.
But this was a great movie. I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it. I think based on its premise, I thought it was going to be a little bit silly. All right.
I mean, the only other thing which bothered me about the movie was there's a lot of product placement in this movie. I mean, there's one scene where you keep seeing Chase Bank like about 10 times, you know, in the foreground. But anyway, you know.
It's the end of summer.
Yes.
You know, it's probably one of those movies that we're a little bit nervous about in terms of promotion. So let's try and bank as much product placement as we can.
No,
all right. Our second movie of the week then is Hit and Run. Yazdi, can you introduce that one?
I can. So Dax Shepard, most well-known from TV's Parenthood, has written the screenplay, co-directed, and stars in this film. Shepard plays Charlie Bronson, yes, you heard that right, who lives in a small town in Northern California with his girlfriend, played by real-life girlfriend Kristen Bell. But the sudden appearance of bad guys led by a dreadlock-sporting Bradley Cooper, it becomes evident to her that her boyfriend is not who she thinks he is. She soon realizes that he's actually under the Witness Protection Program. In order to help her pursue a dream job at a Los Angeles university, the two hit the road, tailed by all manner of pursuers. The Bradley Cooper character who wants to revenge his stint in the prison and his cohorts, and also a mumbling Witness Protection Officer played by Tom Arnold. This movie was co-directed by David Palmer, and most of the movie is, like the title suggests, a great big chase scene. So what did you guys think about it?
So the interesting thing for me in this week's movies is that I felt the titles were interchangeable. And in fact, when I went back to my notes, I couldn't remember which title belonged to which movie. And it could be a consequence of A, we watch too many films, B, I have early onset Alzheimer's, or C, we just literally watch too many movies. Anyways, it doesn't matter because just because the title's not memorable, it doesn't mean that although this film is rather disposable and full of empty calories, that you're not going to have a riot watching this. Dax Shepard, you are proving you are talented, and this is a fast and enjoyable ride.
Yazdi's giving me that look, but before I let him talk, I'll give you my opinion. I like cars. This movie has cars. And I don't know, perhaps I'm just in a happy place these days, but I like this movie. It has so many problems. The plot, the performances, the tonal inconsistency, the drama / humor. But there's a naivety in the filmmaking that I think made it forgivable. I thought they had a lot of fun making it. I knew what they were going for, and so I gave them benefit of the doubt and decided to enjoy it anyway.
Yazdi's frown is turning the wrong way with this film.
Well, this has had like a 40% Rotten Tomatoes. A lot of people are really having a go at this movie.
So which side of the coin are you on, Yazdi?
Yeah, so Richard Roper of Ebert and Robert fame gave this movie an F, not even a C or a D or an F. Mm-hmm. Roger Ebert gave it 3.5 out of 4 stars. And so this movie, like you said, Joe, is really polarizing viewers. And I can't believe you're all going to agree. I mean, I feel a little sheepish as I say this, but I have to be honest. So sue me if you will, but I really like this movie. I know I shouldn't. I know the film breaks no new grounds whatsoever. But the one thing it was for me was funny, and funny is hard.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just showing Rashmi my note here. I've written exact words. You know, so shoot me, so sue me. I don't care because I had fun.
Yeah, I think the reason why it's so fun is the word that kept coming over in my mind was sweet. This was a really sweet movie. And sweet and heartfelt kept coming through. And I think that had a lot to do with the chemistry between Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard. And, you know, again, these are a real couple in real life. But the chemistry was so good that it was just a pleasure to watch them on screen.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think Kristen Bell and, I mean, she's so sweet anyway. She's got that whole American cheerleader thing going on. And the fact that the two of them could play off each other as well as they did, she carried him a lot. I mean, I think he was trying really hard to be cool in this movie. She wouldn't let him get away with that, I think, yeah, based on her performance. So there was an honesty there that I think came through.
Yeah, I think actually from the very first scene of the film of Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell talking in bed, that kind of scene won me over. Because like you, Rashmi, I think, you know, you could be cold-hearted and you can be a cynic and you can say, blah, that's pap, and it's, you know, people, all these, you know, lover talk. But there was a genuineness, there was a sweetness about that dialogue. And it either works for you or you're going to roll your eyes. It really worked for me. I bought into it.
Yeah.
And I think more than anything else, what I really appreciated about the movie was that it's kind of very playfully, gleefully, politically incorrect.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it really crosses the line sometimes. Yeah. But, you know, there are too many gay jokes. But even then, you know, better to offend a little than to play it safe, which movies tend to do these days. So I enjoyed the constant, you know, political incorrectness of the movie. They were like, you know, we're going to say what we want. You know, too bad if I'm going to offend, you know, this group or that group.
One other thing about the movie was it had this tonal inconsistency, and that's something that I normally really hate. It kind of worked for me in this one because I think it turned what would have otherwise been a predictable set of events and silly plot devices into something completely unpredictable. I never knew when a situation or character was going to turn violent or vicious, and I think that really kept me on edge, especially towards the end of the movie, where, again, if you look at the plot critically, there are some really big stretches in terms of the sequence of events that occurs. Things where the bad guy could have actually gotten away with stuff or been more violent than he did. Scenes where they got away from things that they shouldn't have normally got away from. But that tonal inconsistency, especially with the Bradley Cooper character, really had me a little bit on edge.
Yeah, I think this, you know, this isn't an overly complicated story, but it's a good one. It's silly and it's funny. And it has you laughing most of the way. And I think more importantly, again, that heartfelt warmth has you caring for what happens to these characters. You're kind of rooting for them. And I think that's the difference between an Apatow movie and this movie. You know, I think this kind of straddles that line. Like you were saying, Yazdi, of funny and political incorrectness. With an Apatow film, you know, you get grossness and rudeness thrown in. But I like that there was warmth and heart to these characters.
There was one other thing about the movie which really amazed me. And for those of you who have been listening to us, I mean, one of our pet peeves is about trailers for movies which give away everything. And, you know, I try not to see trailers before watching a movie, but I did see the trailer for this. And it seemed, upon watching the trailer, that the movie was walking you through point A to B to C to D in terms of exactly what was going to happen. And so I kind of almost went into the movie with very low expectations. And guess what? The actual movie does not go the way the trailer is. The trailer makes you think that it goes from A to B to C to D, but the movie actually goes from A to G to P to Q.
So that's good.
Yeah, so they really turned that whole thing on its head where they almost created this other story in the trailer to mislead you. So good for them.
Oh, I like that.
This is a Movie Walla's approved trailer.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe you'll have to post the trailer, Judge.
I mean, not overly, but, you know, but still it kind of led you to believe it was chronologically that it played out a particular way. So, yeah. So good for that.
Yeah. All right. Anything more to say on this one or should we wind this up?
I have one more thing to say. I mean, I was like you, Rashmi. I really like the general energy, the pacing, and the sensibility of the movie. And it doesn't seem to be breaking a sweat. You know, it just seems very laid back and casual. It's never trying too hard. And it wasn't until I actually saw the end credits for the film that I realized how much of a homegrown affair the whole film is. I mean, it was written and co-directed by the male lead. And then Kristen Bell is an executive producer for the movie. So although this movie is not as great as Celeste and Jesse Forever, this movie has that same feeling of a group of people who have just come together and said, screw it, I'm not going to wait for somebody to write a good script. I'm going to write the script. I'm going to bring these people together. I'm going to find a director and let's make this movie. So I really enjoy this DIY philosophy, which is coming up in a lot of movies where stars are just doing it themselves, you know, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, and we didn't mention Beau Bridges and Kristen Chenoweth, who both of them I loved in this movie. I think even though they had small roles, they were great with what time they had on screen.
Yeah, I mean, part of me feels that they set up a production company and then decided what movie to make. They kind of got together and said, you know what, guys, we should do this. Got together some finances, wrote a script, filmed it. But I think it kind of was born in that nature. And you did feel that. And
yeah.
It was kind of homemade and very comfortable.
Okay. Yazdi, score this one.
So, you know, I don't think this movie has ambitions to be anything but a low-key, silly little comedy caper. And I believe by that token, it does handsomely well. I enjoyed this movie and maybe it's not cool to admit that, but I did. So enough actually to give it again a 7.5 out of 8, which I'm going to bump up to 8. Sorry, 7.5 out of 10, which I'm going to bump up to 8. Only to encourage Hollywood to support more such self-written, self-directed efforts from filmmakers.
Joe.
Because of the movie's problems, I'm going to have a hard time actually recommending it. But what I will tell you is that I enjoyed it. And if you like the look of it, I would say go see it. For me, it's a 7 out of 10. I'm not sure everyone's going to feel that way. It's very, very easily criticized, but I stand by my score.
I really enjoyed this movie. Good American car porn, good stunt driving, and a good way to spend a rainy afternoon. 7 out of 10.
Unanimous sevens. Well, yeah. No, yesterday you gave it an 8, so cool.
Yeah.
Did anyone else think that Bradley Cooper looked like he was dressed up for Halloween?
Yeah.
I did not buy his badassness in this one at all.
I like the badassness and craziness, but I just wish his hair hadn't been in dreads.
He was shooting for that guy in the Gary Oldman character in True Romance. Do you remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
That to me was what he was going for, that kind of, you know, drug lord. But I just didn't believe that he was a badass. And it was really hard when he got violent, because he did. So
it was good.
I gave it to him. I mean, I did feel that every time, at every minute, that it was Bradley Cooper pretending to be this guy.
Yeah,
But he was having so much fun with it. They were having so much fun.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, mail at movieallers.com. Let us know what you think. Twitter.com/movieallers, Facebook.com/movieallers as well. We've got a few other shows coming up, including reviews of For a Good Time Call and Lawless. So until our next podcast, too many movies, too little time. Goodbye from me.
And me.
Me as well.